Hello, everyone, and welcome to Show Hoppers. Today, we are covering The Regime, Season 1, Episode 5, All Ye Faithful. I am Mr. Sal, joined by... I am Mr. Sal, who is a high school science teacher, and I am watching The Regime for the first time because it is new on HBO and Max, and I'm doing so with my co-host and former student, Kurt. Kurt, we're like two little lunatics who fit like a glove.
you have nothing. I don't know what to say with that.
Stunned silence. Stunned silence.
Is that a compliment? Is that a
no? I don't. You know what? All it is you be you, and I'll be me, and we'll do this podcast. Abridged version. It's going to go a little quicker than usual because it is very late. Actually, it's not that late, but it's way later than we usually record. So we are going to keep this a little shorter than usual, but we will still do our segment, starting with our ratings.
Ratings.
All right, Kurt. I think that, yeah. You know, can you remind me what you've given like past episodes? You gave last week a 10 with Ed, but have you given any? Like, have you been given? I don't remember what you gave anything
else.
I gave
episode 3 a 9, episode 2 a 9, and episode 1 I brought back down to an 8.
Okay. Well, I don't think that you're back down to an 8 then. I think you probably gave this episode a 9. There's a lot of kind of on-the-nose allegory here that you probably enjoyed. It's pretty – you could kind of feel the chaos and the tension building throughout the episode. I think you liked that. I think you liked the idea of the tricky trio and everything they were trying to do. I wonder if you had the thought – When you thought she was going to resign and turn over control the chancellorship to Herbert, I wonder if you had the thought that they really are doing the House of Cards thing, but I don't think it bothered you enough to knock it down to an 8, but I think you're not into this episode the way you're into the Ed episode, so you gave it a 9 out of 10.
I'm tempted to say the same for you. There's not a lot of character development in this episode as much. I'm curious to how you felt about the Agnes storyline, because it looks like, well, she shot dead. We'll see what happens with Oscar and whether maybe he gets out to France. tricky trio. Whatever goes on from there. There's quite a bit of comedy in this episode, especially with Elena sticking to her guns and sticking to the palace. I think I don't think you like it as much as the Ed episode.
And the painting.
The painting was hilarious. I think he gave this a 9 as well.
Yeah, I gave it a 9. I honestly think I really did kind of get, I don't know, do a double take when I thought they were going to literally pull the House of Cards thing and have her resign and hand over control to him. So I wasn't loving that, but then when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, okay, this is better, I guess.
I wasn't against it if it did happen. I also gave it a 9. This was basically, it was just a lot of plot and, you know, a lot of action sequencey part with like the rebels coming close, the palace getting breached. But it's a side of a coup you don't normally see, you know, with political dramas. You don't normally see action-y coup-style things with you get to know the government and then they get overthrown. But here you got to see it. And I'm sure it was maybe this hectic and scary in other coups in the past or something similar to the like January 6th here or
right. So that's part of the allegory I was talking about here. It did. There was definitely a January 6th feel to it. Mm-hmm. Although it was the palace. It was not, you know, Congress.
Yeah, not the parliament, I guess.
Right. But it still kind of had that kind of feel to it. And certainly much more violent, you know. There were lots of shooting, lots of...
Yeah.
You know, it's anyway. There was that, but there was some other
civil war then raiding.
Yeah, exactly. And there was also the bit about the tricky trio trying to figure out if they could use a medical dispensation so to oust the chancellor, because that's been thrown around in America as well in the last, you know, two presidents, really. so it's really interesting. They are really leaning into current events here, and they're doing it in a very, you know, over the top satirical way, which I guess is the point of the series. I am really not sure what the end game of this series is, or the overall point of it.
I have no idea how it's going to end. I mean, next episode is the finale.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're ousted. Is it going to be them coming back to power, or is it going to be the new rise of the government and whatever happens with Herbert and Elena? Like, it's very hard for me to believe.
Did you watch the next one?
He did not. No,
that's,
I told
right,
you.
You don't do that anymore. No, forget
no,
it then.
After they burned me once, no.
It wasn't even that big a burn, but
I felt it.
Well, anyway, I'm very interested to see what they do with this next episode, because this definitely felt like if she and Herbert had died, this would have been the last episode. It could have been very easily the last episode, because they could have easily just killed the two of them off here. So I'm really not sure where they're trying to take this, but we'll see you next week, I guess. In the meantime, we have to guess each other's favorite scene.
Favorite scenes.
I believe that your favorite scene was the Tricky Trio in the disco. Now, I don't know if you want to count their entire time in the disco there, or if you want to segment it. What do you think? What do you think we should do?
What do you think is the, like, when you say entire time, what do you mean? Like, start when to finish when?
The whole time they're in the disco.
Oh, so for the cutaways?
Yeah. So is that one scene, or is it just it's segmented into three different scenes?
I would
say. I think it was three different, right?
I would segment that. I would segment that. I would not say that's all the same scene.
Okay. Well, then I think how about this? This is we segment it in such a way that it's before they're drunk and then after they're drunk.
Yeah, that's fair. I would
agree with that. All right. I think your favorite scene was then before they're drunk. So not the drunk Tricky Trio, but the not drunk Tricky Trio.
Okay. And
the getting drunk Tricky Trio.
Oh. I think your favorite scene is when the scene where they bring up the Tricky Trio the room and they talk, and eventually Elena, instead of killing herself, decides she'll concede control. That's your favorite scene.
Great guess, but no. My favorite scene was the scene I guessed for you.
My favorite scene is the one I guessed for you.
Perfect.
We didn't have much time to think of. I didn't have a lot of time to actually think of your scene.
No, me
neither. But I did think about picking the drunk version of that scene for the Tricky Trio.
Oh, wow.
I really did like the Tricky Trio stuff. That's probably my favorite storyline-wise of the episode.
Mine too.
Is them, because really, if you're part of a government and you were thinking of doing a coup, like, you know, once things start getting this dangerous, it starts, you know, if you're weighing your options, you're well stood into this, or you're in a good position in this government, you're not at risk, no reason to coup. There's rebels closing in on the palace. Suddenly, the idea of cooing looks a lot more appealing, and like just the flirtation of the idea of like, what if we did this hypothetically? Then they're getting sloshed and just talking about getting a chancellor, doing this.
I know. They need a meat puppet. which that to me is why they jumped right on the idea of Herbert, right?
Because
because they said in the drunk Tricky Trio scene, we need we take over, but we put a meat puppet in there, just, you know, somebody who's just our puppet, and they feel like they can control him, which is odd because they haven't been able to control him yet, so I'm not really sure how that works. But anyway, well, let's start with my favorite scene, and we'll kind of just let's just run through all the Tricky Trio stuff, I guess.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Because why not? So the rebel distance is about 11 kilometers or so, but it gets down to 7 pretty quickly as the Holding Company and the Vernon family watch Elena's Christmas special, which was hilarious, by the way. Nikki gives his message from Switzerland. And Herbert unveils his painting of Helena, and Elena, and Elena, you know, says it's not about like and dislike where art is concerned. I appreciate it.
You must have a lot of experience with this. We've talked about this before.
Oh, we have. Yes, you know. Speaking as a parent,
congratulations,
you know,
by the way.
Thank you very much. You have to learn to appreciate the art, all of the art. But yeah, this is clearly, this looks like Oscar made this painting, and maybe Oscar could have done it better, actually.
I could not have done it much better. That's probably what I would have done.
Yeah, me too. But Elena has an equally sketchy present for Herbert, which comes in handy, as it turns out. But it's a gun. And he had just finished complaining about how he thinks that he's just nothing more than a weapon to her. But anyway, she busts into, on the TV, she busts into Santa Baby, and Singer is looking at this and thinking, you know, this looks a lot like the episodes that my demented mother used to have. You know, hypothetically, if we were to, you know, say, want to kick the chancellor out of office, we could, hypothetically. You'd say that there was a medical problem and she was not really fit to be chancellor, and we could kind of, you know, force her to step down. But if we did that, it would have to be close to now. But we're not actually saying this. We're asking questions. And meanwhile, Schiff is trying to hold the line of no, I'm loyal to the chancellor. She's a great woman, you know. And I wonder how much of that is just fear, because I mean, they've lived in fear for so long. They have to pretend that it's dastardly hot in the palace.
Yeah, there's mold in the air.
Yeah, and there's mold in the air and everything else. So they're used to being afraid of Elena, but now who's more terrifying, Elena or these rebels that are 7 kilometers away? So and Schiff is still kind of, you know, walking that line, although he's on the helicopter by the end of this thing. So like, and shooting the guy, I think he's the one who pulls the trigger and shoots the guy. So I mean, he's there. He's thinking all the same things. Well, he's just not ready to vocalize it.
Well, that's because, you know, power, hypothetically, would be given to them.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. But then they do get drunk. And the drunker they get, the more Singer and what's the other guy's name? Is it Gruber?
I forget. I call him the new guy.
The new guy, yeah. Singer and the new guy are actually, they're overtly talking about overthrowing the government now. But Schiff is still holding strong.
I do love it. We'll say that we've always been an inside rebel group. Get all right. The glory. Oh, it's so funny. It's so
good. Yeah, it is. It's great. And this is really my favorite part of the episode is watching these guys and how they respond and react to all this and the plan that they come up with to put this meat puppet in charge. But now I'll let you go ahead and talk about that once they get summoned to Elena's bedroom.
So yeah, they get summoned, and I guess their storyline continues on because they're drunk. They get brought in, and the Westgate resistance now have claimed the news channels. They have TV broadcast access. They claim to be the provisional government. So what do they do next? It looks like Mr. Laskin has defected. So First of all, it's funny when Elena's debating what to do next, and she's like, maybe I'll kill myself. And
they're all like, okay.
Yeah. Singer's
wait for it. Wait for it.
And she goes, actually, no, I won't do that. But I'll announce my resignation as chancellor, and my successor could immediately be sworn in, the foundling heir, Herbert. And Singer, Shift, they talk it up good, and it makes me wonder a lot. Like, this scene made me wonder a lot about Elena. Yes, it's kind of like the House of Cards-esque thing. Mm-hmm. It didn't really bother me because the circumstances are a lot different. Like, it's not like, yeah, it's not like Herbert was helping. Like, it's not like he was helping to plan her downfall in any way. And it's fine if this is what had happened and it's not what panned out. But it made me think a lot about what was going through Elena's mind. Like, we know she's a really good manipulator. Like, was she actually thinking on this? Did she have this planned? Is this like her idea of getting it out? And what of the holding company? Like, I haven't heard Herbert since being back with Elena talking about the holding company. Is he just past that now?
Right.
Now that, you know, they're actively in love with each other. I don't know. Was this her idea of how to escape all this and retire? An exit strategy? I don't know. So I question her ideas behind doing it. It looks like it was an idea in the moment because she didn't want to concede power, as we'll see in like the next like two scenes from now.
Yeah.
Or even the next scene. But but that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
It's the convergence of the tricky trio and Elena's thought, which I question if it was a thought of the moment.
Well, it looked like she was having that telepathic connection with Herbert again. Like, so part of it, I think, too, is she wants to prove to Herbert that he's not just a weapon to her. Mm-hmm. And she feels like she can do it if she, like, turns over the chancellorship to him. Like, see, you were always more than just a weapon to me. But I don't know if he actually is more than a weapon to her is the thing. I think she maybe realizes it here, but anyway, you know, we'll have to see how that all plays out. But you know what I forgot to mention about my favorite scene too, that I thought was really hilarious, was Nikki and the Swiss Alps.
Oh, and my goodness.
Singer's like, oh, look here, there he is, the Swiss Miss.
Yeah, he must be lucky up there in the Swiss Alps.
Yeah, lucky. Oh my god. Yep. I'd like to overdose on sleeping pills and go to the Swiss Alps, which must be I kind of took that. I didn't take that literally when he said it, but
it looks like
on,
it was literally. Yeah.
Yeah, it was literal. So, yeah. Which is of course sad, but that's
I mean there's a big eerie tone in the beginning of this episode with Mickey's just completely gone.
Yep.
Number two, there's constant explosions you hear outside, and they're trying to ignore it. It's there's a big, eerie feeling.
This is 6 months later, so who knows where Nikki is? Like, it could be anything.
Oh yeah.
But anyway. So, all right. Well, Kurt, your favorite scene's in the books. Mine's in the books. I think we need to decide who could use some magic mind.
The magic mind moment.
You know, it's interesting because there are so many episodes of the regime the last episode of the regime where Herbert just could not sleep. He was like perpetually sleep deprived. Certainly could have used some magic mind. But I'm not going to say Herbert for this episode. Magic mind, by the way, focus, energy, shot that we love. We take our magic mind pretty much every day. I take mine right before I eat lunch to get me through that afternoon slog and help me focus and stay alert and in my afternoon work hours. And Kurt, you take yours in the morning kind of as a supplement to your coffee as well.
I do. Yeah. I like to put it in there, and I normally drink my coffee black, so it has a little flavor to it. It's a nice flavor. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the idea is it is for focus. It's for energy. It's for less stress. I am going to go with the tricky trio for this one, specifically in your favorite scene. I think the tricky trio could really use some magic mind. They are not at their best. They are not focused. They are not energetic. In fact, they probably, if left to their devices, would be passed out on a disco floor after, you know, probably doing a little more, too much imbibing. And I'm not claiming magic mind to be a hangover remedy or a get sober quick remedy. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a lot of there's half a cup of coffee's worth of caffeine in it for energy. There's tons of great stuff in there that would really help with this, regardless of whether it's going to be a remedy for drunkenness, but they could certainly use some focus because they don't have much right now.
I went along with, and I think it's maybe more extreme than your lines. I picked the scene where Elena and Herbert are saying goodbye to her father for once and for all.
Oh,
and I think her father could really use some magic mind. as in, I now I'm not saying you're saying it's not a magic elixir or solving drunkenness or sobering up. And it's not a magic elixir of life. It will not bring the dead back to life. That is for sure. But some mornings I wake up feeling dead. And like I could sleep for who knows how long. But I come downstairs, I brew up a cup of coffee, I put in some magic mind, I drink that, and I feel a lot more alert, a lot more awake, ready to do the day. Don't have that crash in the afternoon. That's why I think it's a good, you know, it gave me a good memory of Magic Mind. So there you go. So if you feel dead in the morning, try some Magic Mind. It might help you wake up.
And if you have trouble focusing after because you're in a drunken stupor, try some Magic Mind. We don't know if it'll help that, but you know what? I know you'll have more focus than you would have otherwise, if you didn't do it.
That's for sure.
So there you go. Anyway, yeah, and folks, if you want to try Magic Mind, we've got a great offer for you. You can get 20% off using our link and our code. That's magicmind.com//. It's a /, right, Kurt?
Yep, /.
Okay, /, KNS20, KNS, all capital letters. And then our code is the same, KNS20. We'll have those, the link and the code in the show notes as well for you. With that code and that link, you get 20% off. And if you do a subscription, you can get up to over 50% off between our code and the subscription discount. So definitely worth checking out. We love it. And we thank Magic Mind for sponsoring the podcast.
Who said it?
Well, I am going with the standard three quotes here, Kurt. I'm not sure if this is... I didn't have time to be maniacal about this, so these are pretty straightforward quotes, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. Looking at them now, I have to remember who said them. So
yeah, we just saw the episode. I'm wondering.
I know we did just watch it. So okay,
this could be the best I'll ever do on this. I don't know.
It could be. It could be. All right. Here is your first one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Stop being so hurt.
Stop being so hurt. Oh, okay. No, this is Elena to Nikki. On the phone.
You got it, man. That's right. Elena to Nikki on the phone. And, you know, because...
unfair to Elena. Like, Nikki's not being fair to her.
Right.
Him feeling her about what Elena did is making Elena feel bad and making her feel like she did something wrong.
Exactly right. And this goes back to last episode when I gave you the same quote. You need to be better at being normal. So, because when you act abnormal, it makes me feel like I'm not normal, and that makes me want you to die. Like, that's what she said to her cabinet last week, and now she's saying to Nikki, you need to stop being so hurt because you're making me feel like I hurt you, and we can't have that.
This series is shaping up to be a bad ending for almost all the characters we've gone to now, right?
True.
Like, Ed's dead, Agnes dies, it looks like.
Yep.
I don't think Oscar will be happy at that fact.
No.
And Nikki here's not too happy.
Nope.
Elena and Herbert, it doesn't look like times are going well for them now. And I don't think both of them
are going to survive the series. One of them might, but I don't think they both will.
So this is looking like a overall bad ending for a lot of these characters.
Yeah. Who's got the happiest ending so far? I think these people on the helicopter at the end have the happiest ending so far.
Maybe the union leader. I don't even know if I'd really consider them even a mainstay character. So,
right. Yeah.
Maybe the billionaire will end out on top. Who knows?
Emil Bartos? I don't know about that, because I guess he's one of those elites that have fled to China I can't remember. Well, they said a lot of our elites have fled to China or I can't remember where else, but probably he was one of them.
Probably. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's talking to Nikki. Now, this was interesting because when she sees Nikki on the telecast, you can see that something is triggered in her that she needs to step away to call Nikki. So part of her, at least, is missing Nikki. And I think that comes across in this phone call. And they still are talking like they're married, which is a little odd. But, well, it's more than a little odd, let's be honest. But Nikki is desperate to be back beneath her. You don't need somebody strong. You don't need somebody who's your equal. You need someone like me to be beneath you. And he wants so desperately to be back there, but no, that can't happen. And he's just making it harder for her and making her feel guilty. And so she makes him promise not to try to kill himself again.
Which, good on her.
Okay.
I don't know how much that really helps.
No, I don't either. So, all right. So that was your first quote. You are one for one. You ready for number two?
Yes.
You just have to let it play out naturally.
You just have to let it play out naturally. Man. Say that one more time, please.
You just have to let it play out naturally.
I don't think that's Agnes. I'm trying to... You just have to let it play out naturally. It's not Agnes. It's not Oscar. Is that Elena? When would she say that? Would she say that to Mr. Laskin? Would that play out naturally? No. Herbert say that? I potentially Elena, potentially Herbert. Do any of the tricky trio or other governmental workers say that? You have to let it play out naturally. They don't want anything to play out naturally. This is like they want her to act. So it would make sense that, oh, she does say this. What scene though? She 100%, so it's definitely Elena says this. He says it because they're trying to get her to act. Like, you have to, so is this during the big meeting room? I think it's during the big meeting room because they're telling her all this bad stuff, like how she's lost half her support, all this other stuff, and they want her to pass like a popular bill to win back the support, like rations, but she will not bribe her people. You have to let this play out naturally. That's the scene.
You got it. That's right. Oops. Yes, the cabinet, which is very different now than it was last time we saw them.
Yeah, some new inductees.
Yep. Yep. And an ascending minister of defense.
That's so funny.
That is not an ascension I'd want to make.
Well, he ascends from what, like sports and something?
Yeah, like really, really easy stuff to now, yeah, your secretary of defense in a civil war. Good luck. But anyway, yeah. The cabinet, which is, you know, they're trying to advise her that, you know, your popularity is way down, the Westgate rebel popularity is way up, we got 13,000 civilians dead, this is civil war, and we want you to relocate. But she won't. You just have to let these things play out naturally. Singer has a plan, but Elena won't bribe her people for their love.
Yeah, rations, no one's starving in Central Europe.
That's right. I think the name of this country is Central Europe.
I think it is too. Yeah, you're right.
It's an interesting scene. I really do like these cabinet room scenes. I think they've been very good. Singer has been like kind of low key my favorite character in the series, other than Elena.
Singer's pretty cool. I mean, he speaks for the trio. I feel like for the planning and all this other stuff. I think something also noteworthy in the scene is that Elena and Herbert cannot get off each other. There's a fire. There's a spark between the two. That honestly, I don't think it's around for the rest of the episode. Partially to do with that, probably his dream. But
yeah, but there's a lot of talk about dreams in this episode. Is. Do you think this dream analyzer is the worst job ever?
No, I imagine if you're a dream analyzer, you probably love talking about your dreams.
True.
So you're probably right. Really into
but
it. Like, here's the thing. Some people would completely oppose this and love to hear other people's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but some people are glutton for self-punishment. You know,
seriously.
It is what it is.
This sounds like purgatory to me. I have to be...
Here's the thing I question about the dream analyzer is if the dream, similar to Ozark, I won't go into that, but if the dream analyzer is paid off by... or hired by, I mean, she must be hired by Elena, but if she's saying whatever she has to in Elena's best interest, right? Like, the stream, that's what it seems like. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, she's saying whatever they need to hear. And I actually thought she was great. It was really interesting watching. Oh, this is actually a lovely dream. She's just trying to teach you that you can operate on your own independently. Like, that's a good thing. Like, you know, she's like the Martha Stewart of dream analysis. It's a good thing. But yeah, she's 100% just placating them. She would never say this stuff to a normal, like, run-of-the-mill patient. This is being said to them because it's what she needs to say so that they don't get mad and have her fed to the lions.
Or leopards, probably. But
oh, it could be leopards. Could be leopards. I'm surprised there are no leopards in this.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Especially all the leopard. It seems like the national animal.
What if that's how this ends? They get eaten by leopards.
Well, it would depend how they get eaten by leopards. Walking around outside and leopards come from the woodwork.
No, they get like captured and taken to the zoo and fed to the leopards.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that can happen.
I think that's got a decent shot of happening, actually.
I mean, this looks like a very grim ending for them.
Yeah, for sure. So I got sidetracked by the dream sequences, not dream sequences, but the dream scenes and the dream analysis scenes. But yes, you're right. They are all over each other in this cabinet, and it's making the cabinet members very uncomfortable. It is kind of. I don't know, a little odd that there's civil war, there are bombs exploding all around them, and they're just like all over each other, completely oblivious. It's really interesting. Anyway, all right, you got one more quote, and you're 2 for 2 right now.
It helps that I just saw the episode.
It definitely does, but whatever. I wasn't trying to be maniacal with any of these. So, okay, here you go. Last quote. The time has come for you to step away.
The time has come for you to step away. I think anyone say that to Elena directly? Not about her role as chancellor. So do they mean that as in she should leave the palace? It's time for you to step away.
The time has come for you to step away.
Okay. I'm trying to rule out if it's anything else before I give you my guess here. Oscar definitely wouldn't say that. Time for you to step away.
I think it's funny. You start with Oscar. He didn't say anything but Elena in this
episode. Okay. Either. So I'll tell you the two ideas I think it is. It's either, I forget the person's name, outside in a smoke break, talking to Agnes, trying to convince her that her and Oscar need to go to France. Or it's Herbert with Elena talking to her deceased father, severing ties. It's one of those two scenes. Now, I'm not positive which one it is, so I'm going to just go with it's Herbert with Elena telling her dad that you need to step away.
Fortune smiles upon you. That is correct. Yes. You have backed your way into it yet again, Kurt. Why are you so good at this game? I was 100% counting on you saying that somebody says that to Elena, but no, nobody says it to Elena. Herbert says that to Elena's father. It's time for you to step away. Elena's thinks that, you know, they just need to some separation, just for now. And Herbert says, no, it's permanent. You won't control her anymore. This is very similar to what was said to Nikki, except this time, remember when Elena said that they needed some time apart in the bed so that she could get some sleep. But it was, yes, of course, Herbert's idea. But Herbert stayed quiet then. He's not staying quiet now, not with a dead guy.
Not with the dead guy.
Yes, you will control her no more.
She's mine.
You will not control her anymore. So, yeah. So that's what we got. All right, take 3 for 3. That ain't bad.
I'll take it. 3 for 3. Perfect score.
Can't do better than that. Can't do better than that.
Happens.
Whew. All right, Kurt. I know we said that we were not going to do a recap, but I think we can do a short recap. Don't you?
We can do a recap.
This will certainly be a less detailed recap than our listeners are used to, because my notes are not what they usually are. But we start with this 6 months later now. We have a therapy session, a couples therapy session, and we have Elena and Herbert in matching pajamas, it seems. I think these are pajamas. They were matching outfits anyway. And this is more of a dream analysis section of the couples therapy. Maybe that's all this is. It's just always dream analysis. But dreams are very important to Herbert, and he's been dreaming about biting Elena's fingers. And no, she's terrified. She doesn't enjoy it. He's like chewing her fingers off, not just nibbling them. But she says, no, the therapist says, no, that's okay. That's a good thing. But now maybe try in real life doing that, but not biting. And of course, he does do that with no biting. And instead of a therapy session, it's in a coitus session. And Elena's very into it. So there are bombs exploding. There are other things exploding. Let's move on. So this is going to be a different sort of Christmas this year, says Elena to Oscar. We're going to keep the windows closed, you know. And Oscar says, but how will the baby Jesus get in? And she says, well, he'll weasel his way in somehow.
You know, now it dawns upon me, and I'm just saying this only because I like the song, but they could have at some point in the song played, it's starting to look a lot like Christmas.
Well, they did play a Christmas song, but I can't remember what it was. Deck the Halls, maybe?
I think when, like, the protesters are storming.
That for that juxtaposition.
Yeah. That'd be a cool there juxtaposition.
It would be. So he'll weasel his way in somehow, but it's not Jesus weaseling his way in here. It's the rebel protesters weaseling their way in.
Not right now. They're 23 kilometers away. Whatever that
means. Well, on Christmas Eve, which is the night that they're talking about. But anyway.
No one knows how far they are right now. Because Cam, I don't know what that means.
Kilometers. Anyway, Agnes's man, whose name is Peter, by the way, is sleeping in the kitchen. And Agnes tells him that the Minister of Transportation has fled. And he says, well, how did he get out? Well, he was the Minister of Transportation after all.
I think it's so funny.
So anyway, she tells him he can't be sleeping in the kitchen, and they got to leave their fears and their worries at home. They have a job to do here. She's the consummate professional right to the end. Then we get the cabinet meeting, which we've already talked about. And now Peter meets with Agnes outside and says that he is being paid to get Agnes and Oscar out. So they tried to go directly to Agnes to get her and Oscar out in exchange for information, but they couldn't. So they went through Peter instead. And now they're paying him to get Agnes and Oscar out because she is, as he calls her, the ghost of the palace. She may actually be the ghost of the palace now. I guess your prediction about her sitting the throne at the end of this is not correct.
We don't know yet. Maybe she's not dead. And maybe from the grave, maybe they take her corpse as like some sick joke and put her on the throne.
Disgusting. Okay.
I need to be right?
Right. All right. I really enjoy this next scene too in the greenhouse. Laskin tries to talk reason into Elena, but she dismisses him. She says, I love this quote. This is so great. She says, your job is not to advise me. You just whisper your sweet nothings and then disappear into the gardenias.
Yeah. he leaves for Christmas and we never see him again. Are we going to be seeing him again with the rebels or the new government in some way next episode? Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. It seems she dismissed him. She said, go home, enjoy the holiday. It seems to me like she fired him, but then she's looking for him later. So
yeah, I don't think she fired him.
Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah.
But he might have quit here.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame him. Would have been a good time to quit, actually. But Herbert and Elena go to see Daddy. We already talked about this. Now, the rebels are only 19 kilometers away, and Agnes tries to sell Oscar on French tarts, which transitions right into Herbert. I should mention also, by the way, because the carp is pretty important. Oscar had chosen a specific carp to be the Christmas carp, which is the carp that they're going to eat for dinner. They've been storing it in the bathtub here, and this is where Agnes is talking with him about French tarts. But this transitions right into Herbert having a dream about drowning. And the therapy session is rough. I mean, he's throwing accusations around Elena like, you did nothing. You did nothing to save me. And the dream therapist tries to tell them, you are everyone in your dream. You were you. You were Elena. You were the water. And he's like, nope. She didn't even try.
I did. I was me.
I looked into your eyes and you didn't even care. Well, and she says, well, look into my eyes now. Can you tell that I care? And he does vocalize here that he's worried that he's always going to be nothing more than a weapon to her, which comes into play in the very next scene when she gifts him the gun. And I don't know, what's the worst present here, the painting or the gun?
The painting.
No, it's the gun.
I mean, tell
me why the painting. You take the side of the painting, I'll take the side of the gun.
All right.
Why is the painting the worst?
Painting has no functional value. It just takes up space.
Okay.
Gun, I can use the gun. We're under attack, and you probably like guns, so it's a cool looking gun. It looks nice and it's functional, practical.
Okay. The painting has a sentimental value because mm-hmm. Herbert made it from the heart. It's a meaningful gift. Oh, yeah. If it's the thought that counts, then there's mm-hmm. thought put into that gift. Elena's gift, that gun is very tone deaf. She just got done hearing him say, I will never be more than a weapon to you. And then she hands him a weapon so that she can perpetuate the belief that he is nothing more than a weapon to her.
No, you just like weapons. It's a difference.
Okay. I will admit it does come in handy later. But anyway, all right, we've already talked about most of the scene, but we have not talked about Oscar trying to free the carp into the freezing cold pond.
Rebellion, yeah.
It's not even a pond, it's a fountain or something.
A fountain, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that fish can live in that fountain for.
I don't either, but it doesn't matter. Agnes doesn't want to bring it with them because she tells him they are going to France. And go ahead and dump the carp. All right, we already talked about the Santa Baby telecast and the drunken tricky trio, and we've talked about Elena and Nikki's phone call. So we're on to the Westgate has taken control of the TV stations and the phone lines, and there are soldiers that come to protect Elena. This was Herbert's contingency plan. Like, we got these three rings around you and Elena. We're here to protect. Okay. But she says, go get my cabinet. So they do. We already talked about the scene in the bedroom. So now Elena starts to give her speech, but she hesitates. She hesitates to resign. She doesn't want to resign. If her people could just hear her, they would love her. But she hesitates a little bit too long, and there's chaos because the rebels have breached the palace. She is swept into hiding. The cabinet takes off without Elena. they shoot the guy who's trying to hold them up.
Yeah, what does he say when they leave?
Oh, he says, we're talking about Singer?
Yeah, Singer.
Yeah, she's not the chancellor, you calf. She's just some effing woman. And then he says, farewell, my effing cuckoo, as they fly off.
He's really like on his chips out at this point. He knows where he's going now.
yep, exactly right. Exactly right. But he is right. She's been overthrown. She's not the chancellor anymore. It's that opportunity to resign and turn it over to someone else has passed. There's an occupation of the palace at this point.
Yeah, no, she's lost all control. See, I mean, I don't know if it's part of the country. They said they had reinforcements on the way, so she might still be able to relocate to a different part of the country and hold out, but...
Well, I mean... Palace. Yeah, so I'm having trouble remembering where this episode ends and the next on begins, so I won't say any more than that.
Well, so it ends with... Oh, so I don't know what the next on says, but it just ends
with it's not.
Herbert and Elena... traveling through like the tunnels,
stairwell, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. So I won't say any more than that then. But during the chaos, Daddy gets dumped off the balcony.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Yep. So now Elena won't go out. So this was hilarious. It was hilarious, but it was like so sad. Herbert says, "Oh f, we forgot Oscar. We forgot Oscar."
We can't go back for him now.
And Elena says, no, no, we can't go back. It's too late. Whoa.
It's so sad for Oscar.
He was clearly safer with her than he was with Agnes. Oh, my God. Which was the whole point of keeping him right next to her last episode.
And anyway. Agnes looks like goes looking for him.
Yeah, she does not give up on Oscar. She goes back for him and she dies trying. And that is very sad.
So in a way, Elena was correct. It was too late. She's not technically wrong.
Okay. Anyway. All right. And then we end with Herbert and Elena descending the staircase. And we don't know what's going to happen.
Something else I'll note here, too, is when they're leaving the rooftop after being ditched on the helicopter. And mm-hmm. the soldiers that are on their side, they run into the soldiers. But there's that brief right. moment that looks like, you know, Herbert's going to have to shoot his way out. Like, that to me was like, wow, they really have lost all control. Like, when you're finding, you know, they're so chaos, you run into other people, they're on your team, and you're just relying on the fact that they are still fighting for you, despite it seeming like a losing effort right now. Like, there's...
Yeah. Ooh. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Okay, Kurt. Hmm? It's time to check the time.
Ooh.
It is...
Ain't no time like a TV time.
TV time. That's right, folks. Time to check our TV time app. And we're going to check in and see what we think the users of TV time rated this episode on a scale from 1 to 5. I believe they said it was a 5.
I agree, too. I think they said a 5.
Okay. They did 54%. Is that the highest that there's been?
I don't know.
I think it is, but we should say we're 2.5 hours after the episode dropped.
You could probably shift that yourself if you.
Yes, that's right. Well, let's see. 1%. I shift no. So if I change my vote from a 5 to a 4, it increases the 4 by 2% and drops the 5 by 1%.
All right. So.
So there you go. Anyway, so yeah, I did shift that myself. So yeah, it's this is not a very reliable TV time, folks. But I believe that for your TV time favorite character, Kurt, I think that you're going to honor the in memoriam and go with Agnes.
Who do I think you went with? Is Singer a votable option?
No, but he would have been my vote if he was.
I think the people said Elena. I think you say... I think you say Elena, too.
Okay, and I also think the people say Elena, I should say. Okay, the people do say Elena, 56%. And I said Agnes.
You said Agnes? I said Elena.
I honored the in memoriam vote. You got to respect the in memoriam.
No, because I didn't want her to die. So...
What?
I can't. I'm just going to refuse to believe that she died. I've learned a lot from this government. And one thing is to just not believe the things that I don't want to believe.
That's right.
So I will simply not acknowledge the fact that she may have passed because we did not actually see her die. We just saw her bleeding out on the floor in a big pool of what I think is her own blood, but could have been someone else's blood. But could have been someone else's blood.
Yeah, I guess so. I will say that my vote shifts the percentages by 3.
Wait, can you have someone overtake Elena if you vote for second place?
No, because Agnes is in second place with 31%. Okay, Elena is in first with 56%.
All right, good.
So yeah, so I can bring Herbert from 9% up to 12 if I want.
So oh, like I could
really. Voted. I could really be the agent of chaos and bring Edward from 0% up to 2%. Right. But I'm not going to. I'm going with Agnes at 31%. Yes, yes. It's very early. These are probably going to be very different by the time you listen to this.
After a release that we've recorded an episode.
I think so.
I don't think we've ever watched an episode on release night and then recorded the same night.
We have watched episodes and then recorded the same night, I think.
We have, but no, not maybe the not. Same day they've released.
Not the same day they've released, no. Right. Yeah, so, oh well. But this is
show up first.
Yeah. By the time you hear this episode, folks, those results on TV Time might be quite different. You can write in and tell us what they were, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. You can write in and tell us your predictions for the finale, which is called Don't Yet Rejoice. You can write in and give us suggestions for future content, which we may or may not listen to, because some of our future content is pretty well locked in. For example, just about the time that we finish covering The Regime, actually, not The Regime specifically, when we finish covering Severance, which is what we're covering concurrently with the regime right now. When we finish covering that, we'll be picking up with Outer Range Season 2. We've already got Season 1 coverage in the books. Go check out our Season 1 coverage of Outer Range. Watch the series. It's pretty decent. I was actually really into it until the finale, but now that there's a Season 2, I can be back into it because they can answer some of those many plethora of questions that they posed in the finale. Yeah. Yeah. The finale, we'll just say this. If there was not a Season 2, the finale would be infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a Season 2, so it's all good. Check out maybe Dexter New Blood. That's a good one. Bodies is our most popular series. You can check that out. We've got the Damon Lindelof box set of Lost, The Leftovers, Mrs. Davis, and Watchmen.
Might I recommend Better Call Saul? We do have a Season 6 preview that we talked about off the podcast together that I was very proud of.
Yeah, there you go.
So check that out.
And we covered Season 6 in its entirety as well. Series that are returning for more that we have coverage to get you caught up on. Some things like, let's say, The Last of Us. There's also The Old Man, Only Murders in the Building. I already mentioned Outer Range. Shrinking and The White Lotus. These are all things that are coming back. Severance as well. That's happening right now concurrently with this. So... all right, folks, that's your homework. In addition to that, you could, for bonus points, leave us 5-star ratings and reviews, follow, like, download, share with your friends, all that good stuff. We do appreciate all of that. Kurt, is there anything you would like to add before we sign off here?
This is the penultimate episode.
There's only one episode left.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't even talk about predictions for next week other than, you know, things that came up along the way, but
I really don't have any predictions. I mean, one of the two will be dead at least.
That's my prediction. And I've seen the next on, and like, I don't know how you could possibly make any predictions once you've seen the next on.
I will leave it there then. But the way it is now, like, you could have more than one episode coming up, but since it's only one, and they do a time jump seemingly for every episode. It looks like we're not going to pick up right where we left off. We're going to be
at some point
in the future, but I wonder how, I wonder who.
Actually, I take that back. I think we will pick up right where we left off.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll see. We'll have to see about that. But folks, there's only one episode left of The Regime. It's Don't Yet Rejoice. So you know what? With only one episode left, the best advice I can get to you is, let's not get too fond.
Shoe hammer some show hoppers into your day.